Preston, Joyce, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great. Hey, thanks to both of you for being available to us. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
We got a lot of moms and dads in our audience, and I know it's going to be good information. I really do appreciate you guys being with us.
Okay, good morning.
A very important topic in this segment of the show. Certainly, it seems like almost daily, not quite that often, thankfully, but all too often, we hear another horror story of a child being abducted or abused. And the dangers these days aren't always outside the house. Online predators lurking right in your family room on your home computer. And we all want to keep our children safe, of course. Preston Jones and Joyce Jackson in this segment are going to help us do that. Let me introduce you to Preston Jones. Preston is a former police officer and Air Force veteran, a fifth-degree black belt. Joyce Jackson is joining us this morning as well, a former business owner, architect with a background in martial arts. Together, they have created a unique, comprehensive personal safety course called Keeping Kids Safe. They are authors of How to Keep Your Kids Safe from Sexual Predators. We'll tell you how to get the book and other information and help that they provide before we wrap things up this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, Preston Jones and Joyce Jacks. Preston, Joyce, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Available to us, I really appreciate it. Where is home? California?
California. Northern California.
Northern California. Now tell us, Preston, let's begin with you. Preston Jones, who are you and what's your background and why keeping kids safe for you?
Well, Chris, I tell you, I've got, my background is in martial arts. I've got 30 years' experience in that. But that's just provided the vehicle for me to really bring this information to the children and the families. As if you had a chance to see the book, you see that we're on the prevention end of it. So even though we have the martial arts background, we're not about the striking, the kicking, the gouging, all of those things. We just leave that to other programs out there, and we focus on prevention primarily.
Joyce, what about you? What's your background and why your interest in this topic?
Well, like most of your listeners, Chris, I'm a mom. And I've got two young boys, and, you know, I worried like everybody else about what I was going to do about these things. And I actually started by enrolling my oldest boy at the time, when he was four, in Preston's class. And it's, you know, it's been a history thing then. I got involved in it, and I'm Preston's partner now, and it's all about kids.
Let's begin with, you have a unique child safety quiz that really gets to the heart of some of the questions that we need to consider in keeping our children safe. Walk our listeners through that. Let's talk about some of these tough questions and your recommendations.
All right. Mom and Dad, number one, is it okay to talk to strangers? I don't know if you want to go over the answer there, Chris.
Well, let's take a question and answer right here, because typically we think no. What are your thoughts on talk to strangers?
Preston, you want to answer that?
Yeah, sure. Well, the approach that we take out there is that, of course, it's okay to talk to strangers because we do it every day. What we try to do in our program is that we educate parents and children as to what a stranger really is. A stranger is just simply someone that you don't know very well. And based on that definition alone, our children, our family members, we talk to strangers every day. So when we tell children not to talk to strangers, we're creating an image that a stranger is actually a bad person, somebody that's actually going to hurt them, when in reality that's really not the case. So we're sending our children out the door confused, and they don't have real clarity on really who they need to protect themselves from.
How do we help our kids learn a balance between, yes, you're going to talk to strangers, of course, but not going so far as to make unwise choices and let this stranger in the park, or these horror stories that we talk about of this friendly man offers me a ride home?
Right. You know, Chris, it's how we teach the kids to talk to strangers. From a safe distance, what kids can talk to strangers about, certainly not any type of personal information, and then if the stranger approaches them, how to turn and run away and go find a trusted adult or a parent. If a child is snuck up on in the horrid event they're grabbed, we also have some techniques called 9 easy getaways that we can teach very young children so they can escape the grasp of a full-grown adult.
What are your thoughts on how much we could take tell our kids about what dangerous strangers can do in today's world, where we hear about these horrible crimes against children with abductions and whatnot. And how young? I mean, should we tell even young children about some of the things that can happen? I mean, these people, strangers, can kill you.
Yeah, you know, Chris, that's a very good question. And, you know, there's enough fear and paranoia in the world today, and especially working with children, we don't feel that we really need to give them details as in regard to what strangers can do and the horrors that are out there that could befall them. What we try to do with the children is that we approach this horrific subject matter in a lighthearted, fun way, and they're actually learning this information surreptitiously, if you will, by enrolling, by role playing, by doing different games. They develop some self confidence. They develop ways to look at their environment so they can spot troubled areas. But we don't believe that we really need to sit kids down and make them scared and paranoid about their environment.
Joyce, next question in your quiz.
All right. Are most molesters and sexual predators strangers? The answer is no. We follow the FBI statistics very, very closely and stay up to date on this. And most children are abused by either family friends or family members. It's a very important point for parents to understand, Chris.
And I have a close relative that as a child was sexually molested by an uncle and never said a thing about it until late in life. How can we keep something from happening like that? Because at the family reunion, we don't expect cousin or Uncle Perv over here to be in the back room trying to cop a feel. I mean, it's so crazy we don't even think about it.
You're absolutely right, Chris. And this, and the way that we kind of work with that is that we try to present some parenting techniques for the parents out there, because again, the parents have the responsibility to help their child learn how to keep themselves safe. And so on the, again, back to the prevention end of it, is that we try to teach children and families how to develop, how to interact with their child in such a way that their child feels comfortable to come to that family member that they feel safe with, and they're able to talk to them and tell them about anything. And that's really what's most important. We have to help them develop that open line of communication.
As a part of helping to open that line of communication, should we tell our young children, should we tell our children at any age, look, if anyone ever touches you inappropriately, and that would include touching here, you come and tell me. Should we have that conversation?
Most certainly. I think that's paramount, you know, that the children have to understand that. And then in the same vein, Chris, we need to let them know that if anything like that happens, that it is not their fault. They did not do anything to bring that on. They have nothing to feel guilty about. And that's why most children don't come and approach family members to tell them about that, because they take on the responsibility. So we need to educate them and let them know that the responsibility does not lie with them, but with the perpetrator. And so, you know, come and talk to us about it, because we're here to help and we're here to listen.
Kids typically take on the guilt responsibility there naturally, or is that normally because of something that the predator says? If you tell anybody, I'll this, that, or the other.
Well, you know, Chris, I think that's probably, yes, in both cases. I think children just inherently take on the responsibility for everything. We, you know, the stats show us that children of divorced parents, they feel responsible for the parents being divorced. And so they tend to take those things on naturally. And there's predators out there that will threaten children and tell them that, oh, you better not tell because I'll do this or I'll do that. And again, we have to educate our children that if anybody tells them that, they're only telling them that because they don't want to get caught and they don't want to get in trouble.
Joyce, another question for our parents.
All right. What kind of, let's go to the online stuff, Chris, because this is really hot. What kind of information is it okay for your child to give out when they're online?
And the answer?
None. No passwords. Not their name, not their address. It's not even safe, Chris, or recommended for your child to upload a picture of themselves to the web.
All right, now tell us why, because I know you're talking to a lot of parents. I'm one of them that have children with MySpace stuff out there. They're all on MySpace, and they've all got some personal information on them.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, all of a sudden, Chris, in our lifetime, this really great thing called the Internet has just exploded. And some estimates show, Chris, that it's really only 5% of the projected size it's going to be in the next 5 years. So we're struggling with how to do this. A big part of it, Chris, goes back to, again, confidence in the child and the child's relationship with their parents. We teach kids about their belly brain, and that's, you know, that gut reaction that we all have to things when it's you know, wrong, it's uncomfortable. And so if we go back a step, when they're in that room with that perpetrator, they feel their tummy funny, and we teach kids to tune into that and leave the room. When they're online and they start, you know, on these websites where they find something funny, their belly brain's going to go off, and they need to go show mom and dad. But we're kind of inventing this as we go. Kids should not be giving out where they live, what their real name is, if their mom and dad are home, or things like that, because we're finding that even sexual predators online are so cunning at what they do, they can literally, behind a keyboard, lure children and trap them into relationships without them even knowing it.
And they do that by building a relationship with the children, Chris. So when a child just simply says, well, you know, I live in such and such a town, like Joyce mentioned, these predators are so cunning that they'll take that very small piece of information and they will include that in their dialogue with the child to help develop a level of comfort and trust with that child. And then they'll just they'll slowly begin to build on that. So the thing with these sexual predators online is that it doesn't happen over a day or just one contact. They will work weeks and months and sometimes as long as years to develop that confidence in the child so they can get in and do what their original intent is.
Worst case scenario here, guys, what can happen if a child just simply offers their real name and a photo on a MySpace or elsewhere on the Internet? What can a potential sexual predator do with that?
Well, Chris, today, especially if anybody's online, even adults, there is no privacy. That information can be traced back to an address, you know, a city, a town, and a neighborhood. And we also know that molesters and abusers don't operate and think like we do. And the real threat, one of the real threats is that, you know, the child could be, you know, watched or stalked. It's just not a good idea to put any children's personal information up online at all.
One of the questions, Joyce, that I want you guys to answer for us, if you would, and one that I noticed that you address, what's the single thing that will likely dissuade a predator from targeting a particular child?
Well, I'm going to let Preston answer this one. This is our mantra.
Yeah, you know, Chris, that's simply self-confidence. Okay, a confident child is less of a target for a predator. A child that walks with their head up, shoulders back, looking around, okay, aware of their environment. Any predator that is stalking a child or that is looking for a child to abuse is going to avoid that type of child because that child says, you know what, I'm going to be trouble. I'm not going to be an easy target. And it's really just as simple as that. It's as simple as that, but yet there are so many techniques involved to develop that type of child.
And what do you say to the parent whose child is not confident? Some of them come by it naturally. And what do you say to the parent of the sheepish personality child?
Well, you know, we've got techniques that we can present to those parents to help them develop that confident child. And again, it's the parent's responsibility in the sense that it's how they interact with their child. It's, you know, we've got things like catch them being good, how to listen to them, how to, through repetition of these parenting skills, you're going to develop that child that says, you know what, I can do whatever I want to. I am a good person. I do have value, and I have the opportunity to make good choices.
In closing here, what is your advice to us? How do we try to find balance in this day in which we live, from being one extreme, avoiding the extreme of being so comfortable, just outright naive about evil in the world, and yet trying to avoid the other extreme of there's a predator behind every bush, and oh, don't talk to anybody and go in your house? I mean, we've got to find the balance to live, don't we?
Yeah, Chris, we certainly do, and that's what we want to do at Keeping Kids Safe, is that we want to help you find that balance, because you're absolutely right, that balance is crucial. We don't want to create a generation of children or family members that are paranoid and think that you've got a predator around every corner. But we want people to be aware. We want them to be educated. We want them to be realistic about what's going on out there. And, it's just like riding in a car. You put your seatbelt on. It doesn't mean that you have to be paranoid that every time you get in the car that you're going to be involved in a horrific accident. It's just safety precautions.
In this day, just earlier this summer, the teenage girl up in Kansas abducted from a parking lot. What would you have advised her to be prepared to do had you had the opportunity to do so ahead of time? She's going to her car. It's night. She's abducted and ends up missing and then found dead.
Yeah, you know, Chris, you don't know how many sleepless nights I've spent going over that, thinking, what could that child have done? And the more that I heard on the story, she was everything that we teach in Keeping Kids Safe. She was a confident child. She came from a good family who had open lines of communication, who listened to their child, that she was everything that you want your child to be. But yet, she ended up being a victim. And unfortunately, Chris, I'm afraid that the reality of the situation is that, you know, there's no guarantees. I don't know what she could have done. So when I think of that situation, it's like now we have to back up, and instead of thinking about the child, now we have to think about the predator. Now we have to think about the laws that we have in place on dealing with the predators and how that person needs to be dealt with, because I don't know that young lady could have done anything to avoid that.
Joyce, tell our listeners about Keeping Kids Safe. What is it, and how do our listeners access?
Well, Keeping Kids Safe, again, is a child safety prevention program, Chris. We teach kids to keep themselves safe. We are national, nationally international, even though we home base in the Northern California, San Francisco area. They can find our book on our website, because, again, Keeping Kids Safe is our business. Your child will one day be out and about in the world without you, Mom and Dad, and they need to know how to handle any type of dangerous or threatening situation that they may face.
What is the website?
It is keepingkidssafetoday.com. And if they go to the site, they'll see a picture of our book. They can click on it. Just follow the links.
KeepingKidsSafeToday.com is the website, and Preston Jones and Joyce Jackson behind it, and the Keeping Kids Safe program. Preston, Joyce, thanks so much for your time today. Good information. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks for the opportunity.
My pleasure.